This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Nothing, man.
You have
I'm
said
getting
you've seen him do
ruined
this.
Ruined in the 5 minutes.
Carl, you basically the countdown was going, and Julian just tried to go off camera and did one of those, you know, the footballer
the
snot blast out of one nostril.
But where to?
I did it,
Julian.
I did it into a tissue. Just blew my nose. I've got like I've got disgusting habits. No, I've got I've got something wrong with me. You know what? Since I worked, and it's the most disgusting thing. If I see someone else do it, it makes me feel sick. You know,
it's like a lot of things. If you don't feel sick when you're having a shit, do you? But if you were there in the room, watch it. You know, that's life is like that.
Yeah.
Well, you watch.
I mean.
Some people are into it.
Wasn't there that old absolute old sort of bullshit rumor that went around? So it was all not even like I'm not even
oh,
a legend.
The glass table
true.
One,
yeah, the one about yeah. But
word.
It's but you know the actor. It was always I always heard it about Sylvester Stallone. But I don't think that's true. He seems like a nice guy who isn't into that fucking disgusting shit.
But, somebody squatting, like him laying under a glass table and someone squatting on the table.
Yeah, I was talking around it, but you just go straight in with the facts.
Mate. Yeah, yeah. I don't I've think I'd ever be into that. Like, you know, like you're...
No, yeah, I've probably been the best.
I love that there's like that I'll be ever like there is this future where it's possible, but he doesn't think that it's gonna happen.
Well, yeah, you know, you know, you
as much as I've
like
tried,
your sexual,
I don't think it's ever gonna happen.
Like kinks,
for me.
Yeah, exactly.
But sexual kinks like evolve, don't they? Go a little bit further each minute with me. Not really, but like.
Do you see? Because this is what people say, but I don't.
Like you don't know what you're gonna be into when you're 70, but I can't imagine it's that.
No,
I'm quite vanilla really with stuff.
But I think I've got more vanilla in middle age.
Yeah, what did you used to be into, man? I've seen your fucking. I've looked over. I've looked over your shoulder at your phone in green rooms, man. That is worse than a snot rocket. Choosing glass tables on Amazon after.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, anyway.
Okay, so there we go.
So, anyway, welcome back, everyone. We had quite a funny little chat the other day when we were going to chat to you, but you got your timings wrong for the thing you had to do afterwards. So I kind of
got them wrong.
I was slightly
misinformed. I'm not taking full responsibility. The thing I did instead of doing this the other day was it was promo for like a morning Irish television thing to try and promote the tour, right? And they asked me about, they kind of said, oh, you can't, you know, are you worried that you can't say anything anymore because of cancel culture? And I didn't know this question was going to come up. Yeah. And that's not my forte. What would your guys' answer been to that on the spot, live breakfast television? So, you know, guys, we've got you here from TVI. Are you worried about what you can say, what you can't say in comedy nowadays?
I'd have dropped the N-word
off the bat.
The fact that we both went for that obvious. joke is a good sign. We're on the same wavelength. No, but
yes, very good.
I think...
scream that into the camera. Which camera's on me?
No, I think, you know, I don't. I think it's the same I'd always say, which is no. Like, again, I think it's normally about intention and, you know, but you know the comics that are saying things to sort of be a bit, and you know the ones who are a bit horrible, really. And I think, yeah. I think the people that would be the targets and be upset by what they're saying know that their intentions are bad, and they know that if you're just, you know, I think they know the people that aren't. I think they know the people that are just sort of having a laugh around a topic rather than going in on people and stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
it's really I'm not scared by tone. You can tell by, like, yeah, I think audiences are much smarter than people give them credit for, to be honest.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not scared of saying the wrong thing, really, because I don't feel like my intentions.
That's not how you come across. You always seem so guarded and careful with your language.
But I just think, you know, my intention, and I want to learn, you know what I mean, right from wrong or whatever. Like, what? It's new territory.
What's going on? Do you think you've been arrested?
I don't even mean a press conference after you've been
I don't even mean other people's version of right or wrong. I want to find out what I think. But
create a new one that sits better with your language.
Do you know what I mean? Because one person could be two people can be offended at opposite things with different ideas. Like, which one are you going to go with?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you have to. I think that we should be the change we want to see in the world, and just have compassion. Everyone's individual, all that kind of thing.
I feel like we're on a date with you or something. You're trying to impress us.
Yeah, ma'am. What's your favourite colour? Should get the bill now. I think sleeping on first dates is for, you know, we're adults. You know what I mean? Can I have the check, please, waiter? Yeah. Get your jacket, chick. Get your jacket, chick. You've pulled.
Oh, lovely. It's like a full-on one-man sketch.
Yes. It's interesting, isn't it? Because once upon a time, first of all, to go back to what you said, Carl, about how, you know, it's just not a problem and people can sense the intention and all of that.
I'm not saying it's 100% not a problem. I do think sometimes there are obviously oversensitive people who will, again, they will come in bad faith and assume something's been said.
They're looking
worse
for
than
it, aren't they? And
that's a good. Yeah.
But I don't think it's as big a problem as the sort of people that you hear bang on about it all the time. It's not as big a problem as they make out.
Because you don't judge real life by Twitter. Like, some people just live on Twitter and they're judging it by that.
Yes. And the Twitter and the articles and the things that are published about this thing that is cancel culture, I think it kind of, it's not the reality of the situation. What you read about in like this cancel culture thing, what you read about isn't what it feels like. But, you know, people say it all of the time to me, actually. It's like, do you guys get it? I get it a lot, like, oh, bloody hell, God, must be tough nowadays being a comedian. You can't say anything. You go, it's just, you've read something. It doesn't.
The
journalists are pushing this story because it's sensationalistic, it's exciting. Wow, cancel culture. You know, the end of free speech and all of that stuff. It's not like that at all. The only thing I think that has drastically changed, and it's evident, is, I mean, this is the answer that I probably should have said on the actual program as opposed to a podcast with some mates. But is that the context used to be, you said a thing in a club, everyone was there in the club, and comedy was like this kind of secret where there's a comedian on stage, they were saying lots of funny stuff, maybe something a bit risque, something a bit naughty, and the audience, we all enjoyed it. And at the end of the night, you kind of went back out into the city, and that was that. And that was that night that you had, and it was contained.
Yeah. It never made it to the people that weren't in the room.
Exactly. And so now it can kind of percolate, and it comes out of the club and into the phone, or it's filmed, and suddenly, bang, it's out in the ether. Then you can't control it, and then the conversation is no longer rational. I mean, in most cases, I reckon it should just be, yeah, they said that and it didn't work. Like, yes. Forget it. Yeah, the punishment there's for not any balance. Comic is that didn't work. That's the punishment for a comic, I think. You go, you should get all your gigs pulled. No, that's way too much. The punishment is when that person said that, no one laughed. That's end of the punishment.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
the thing that kills us the most.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's it. But there's not. But the people who are looking for offence and looking to bring people down aren't rational or reasonable. They're coming to get you. You know what I mean?
Yes. But yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. That's what I
and
mean.
And there's
I
a few, and you know, it's a very small percentage of people
that's what
doing
I do
that.
Think if you cut through the, if you cut out the people that go on like it's the biggest problem on earth, and the people that will overreact to anything, actually, the overwhelming majority of people still, I think, exist in the normal.
100%.
And
the
me,
people
really.
That are there to bring people down and cancel people, like the very tiny, are actually creating the careers of the other people on the other side.
I had a strange one. I've just remembered this now, a while back.
Which is fine.
The Brits, where Sam Smith dressed up as a balloon or something.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on him. Not really. I don't even know. I don't even follow it. I'm only joking.
Right. So I just did. I remember at the time I did some sort of reel, some sort of, you know, little sketch video. And I remember I thought nothing of it. It wasn't about the, what do you call it? It wasn't about like gender identity or anything like that. It was purely about the outfit. That's all it was. And it was silly. But then a couple of people like posted, oh, you think after what you've been through, that you would, that you wouldn't be attacking this man. And you're like, it feels like you're trying to start something there. I felt like someone had looked for something. I'm doing a silly sketch about a man. Well,
I
don't know what Sam
non-binary,
is.
Non-binary, I think it sounds just
non-binary. Dressed up as a balloon at the Brits, and that's all it is.
Well, I think that's...
By the way, the truth is... the truth is I actually like it. The real me goes, that's fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
I mean, you can backtrack if you want.
I love it.
I actually like
it.
But I like how annoyed
suddenly
Sam
Sean's
Smith
like the biggest Sam
people.
Smith fan in the world.
No, but like I genuinely think like I find it really funny how many people get so annoyed about Sam Smith. Like I find it funny that he boils their piss so hard.
Like, but people weren't like that over Madonna, weren't they, when she was in the 80s? Like, not that comparing Smith to Madonna, but because Madonna's a ledge. But do you know what I mean? People have always had that. And a part of the PR and hate against Sam Smith helps put them in the paper. You know what I mean?
It's all strategy. The thing is, I think, again, like it's that thing, you make a dumb joke about an outfit. All you're thinking about is that outfit looks funny. I'm going to say a silly joke.
And yeah, it's somebody nothing to then, do with gender,
think,
is it?
Well,
it's
like, often I think people almost give...
You dress as a balloon, you fucking moron.
They give
moron.
You too much.
I mean, it's a weird time, isn't it, that me saying he's dressed as a balloon, it looks a bit silly, is like well offensive. But suddenly, that's Hitler's view.
oh my god!
But often I think people give you too much credit. Almost they assume that you've thought about it way
that
more
you
than
you know.
They,
the background,
they think you've
the
thought
debate,
about it the
yeah.
way they would think about it, and they're totally. Somebody who's it. It's their topic. They're interested in all this sort of stuff that's going on. And
why did you go at Sam Smith
online.
Like that harshly? Did you think he was sort of culturally appropriating different genders or something? How many genders are there, Sean? What do you think of trans in women's sports, Sean? You seemed to say a lot about it before we went on air. I want to see that Sean on a podcast. Do you know what I mean?
I want to see that Sean on headliners on GB News.
want to see that, Sean, on the Daily Wire.
What's the Daily Wire? I don't know what the Daily Wire
is. The Daily Wire is a conservative, I think it's like a news channel in America
I think you said that.
Ben Shapiro.
You said it so confidently, and you're like, oh no, I think it might be a conservative.
Hang on, I forgot.
I think it might be that poster on my wall.
let me just check my tattoo. Hang on,
Ben Shapiro's face.
Let me check my direct debit that I pay to them every month to support them.
49 quid premium access. I'm on their WhatsApp group.
Be as racist as you like for an extra tenner.
The M word is an extra $5 a month if you want to scream that.
Oh, my Lord.
All right, here we go. Let's have a look at some of these. We've got some questions. Let's do some questions that are not on these topics. What's this? Somebody says they saw your show at Leicester Square Theatre recently. This is from Bill. He said you were heckled by someone called Nathan. Do you have a code word to security to remove the twat, or do you have to sort it out yourself? I suppose, yeah, some people like don't know if like hecklers, you know, most theatres have a sort of like, if somebody's being constantly problematic, get them out. But normally, depends on the comic, doesn't it? Comics often say
it's
like...
probably a racial slur or something now, Sean, as a, like a safe word.
But what is it? So what's your heckler rule with theatres?
I don't have one. There is no premeditated way of dealing with it. Hang on. It wasn't a heckle. So the Nathan thing, I remember, I didn't find the Nathan thing too disruptive. Enjoyed it. But I tell you what, I did a tour show in Leicester. See what you guys think it is, or if you've had anything similar. This is what I really don't like. When they put it on the audience. So someone was chatting and they got shushed. And that happens now and again.
Yeah.
You kind of deal with it.
I like that.
Shushed by other members of the audience.
Yeah. So fine, dealt with it, bit of fun. Happens again. Okay, we go to the next phase of dealing with that. After a while, you've got people that have paid, you know, money to go and have a nice evening out, and now their night is being disrupted by just some people that are too pissed that are talking through the crowd. It was just an in the moment decision. I just went, okay, guys, tell what I'm going to do. I'm going to call an interval, and when you guys have decided if you're going to stop talking or leave this evening, I'll come back and we can crack on. And I just walked off, and then the venue went and found them, and
that's nice though. That's good, because then the audience aren't missing any of the show, or minimally.
Yeah.
By the way, Sean, you're not on the camera. You're off camera a little bit.
He's on. What do you mean he's on camera? Oh, what do you mean?
Really, only half of his face is.
Oh, I saw.
That's
better. You are. See, slightly.
Sorry. I've got a select. I must. It must be a different. You've got a different thing.
You're getting
to me.
Different view.
Yeah, that's better though. That's better.
I suppose. Okay. Yeah, calling a little interval is quite. And yeah, if it's that thing where the venue can't find them or something, that's quite a good.
It was that they couldn't find them.
Yes.
I can't imagine you ever losing your temper with the audience, Sean, or like getting angry or like really having a problem with a heckler. No?
Are you joking?
No. Just the times I've seen, like when we did that double header show the other night. Well. And Julian Dean and friends. I forget the title, something like that. But it was in Lutterworth, like, and there was somebody being a bit problematic, but you handled it really well, actually. You know what I mean? Could have been really annoying.
I think when I drank in my 20s, when I wasn't as aware of my this is so mental what I'm about to tell you. This is so mental.
Go on.
I can't remember non-binary. Where I was. I was. You know. This podcast is going to end up being 4 minutes.
I know. Yeah.
No. We'll leave it all in, man. I'll go down. I don't mind. I was only joking.
Mark Simmons was supporting me. So it's quite some time ago. I now realize in hindsight, this reaction would have meant that I was chemically imbalanced, shall we say.
Yeah.
I walked out, and this is the worst place you can ever, ever, ever heckle any comedian, is they heckle you before you've got your first laugh. Like that, they wrong-footed you before you start. And,
That's such a good point.
I was so internally angry, right? I lost my temper internally so much that I couldn't even focus on the words.
Oh, man.
I was so angry that I said to the audience, sorry, I just need to do this to be able to get back on track. And I picked up, this is so mad, I picked up the stool.
Yeah.
And I just chucked it at the back wall.
No.
Well, at the back wall of the stage.
Yeah, that's
it. Yeah. I just went, right, oh, that's better. So.
It's hard to then go into, like, you know, fucking Henry the Hoover.
Joke about yogurt. No, no.
But Mark Simmons
on the bus, banging your head on the
bus.
Yeah,
I know. But Mark Simmons,
I think that was a very honest, raw, nice thing to do.
No, Mark Simmons.
I like that.
It was strange. Mark Simmons. I even think I learnt this off him when he was support, actually, because we used to try and feed each other everything that we thought we had learnt.
Mm.
You know,
yeah,
to try and help each other, like a kind of like a team almost.
Yeah.
His way of dealing with heckling is just incredible. It's my favourite way of dealing with anything. Is he just becomes the... He doesn't even have, like, put-downs or anything. He just remains the nicest guy you've ever met.
Yeah.
Just politely says, like, all right, guys, well, I hope you enjoy the show. I'm going to try and crack on because people seem to be having a nice time. And I hope you're having a good evening. And goes through, and I remembered that, and I just try and almost, even if I'm being agitated internally, always just be your kind of, I don't want to say
I think he is that nice guy, isn't he?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's hard
inside, you say he's not. Of course, and he is. He's a wonderful human. But internally, he's still thinking, shut the fuck up.
Of course,
But his default is to be nice, kill it with kindness. That's his default, isn't it?
Like, because, yeah, I mean, your options are be nice and be like, yeah, whatever, it's not for you. Fucking, like, do the whole sort of fucking destroy them sort of heckle put down.
Yeah. Thank you.
And that's the only two options, really. You know what I mean? Because anything else, you look like a dickhead. If you go too angry, you've lost it, mate. You've shown that you're not funny in that moment. Nice is always the way forward, isn't it?
Nice, because then they've got nothing to push against.
But you can't have an argument
with an empty cup, like somebody who's not arguing back. You know what I mean?
Yes. But they think that... it's such a strange thing, isn't it? Because... if you lose your rag, you lose your temper, you show that actually...
you lose control.
You're pissed off. But what happens is the audience think that you've revealed who you really are.
That's not true.
I don't stand by that because you've revealed
who someone is who's just been called shit. No one would like that. If you shout out a bus driver, mate, you're driving. The bus driver's going to get really upset or anything.
You can't do turns, mate. You can't do turns.
Well, especially like, you've got the spotlight on you. You're under. There's pressure on stage. Whether you're enjoying, you know.
Did you ever manage to like break a teacher where they just fucking lost it? Like, we did it to so many teachers. The moment it happened, game over, mate. You might as well move schools, man. Because like you're never coming back from that.
We used to call this teacher Hitler. Mr. Dean, his name was. And it weren't my dad.
Bravo.
But he got fired. He got fired. We broke
That's just your family fun nickname for him.
We broke him so much. We broke him
you
so
broke
badly.
Him so much that he killed Jews.
That he started the Socialist Party, National Socialists, or whatever they're called.
That was your nickname.
But he walked
Hitler.
Out the classroom, and even one of the boffins, like the well-behaved kind of kid, his favourite subject was politics, right? Graham, his name was. He was a really smart little intellectual. He threw up the Hitler sign just to have a piece of it.
Man.
And Mr. Dean came in, burst back in and dragged him physically.
Oh, man.
And yanked him out of the chair. And all the class just turned. And all of the class just, this girl, Emily, who actually went on to be a professional footballer, she stood up and went, no. And like all the naughty kids, were, like me and my mates, were just watching the boffins and the strong girls, like just like take control. And he got fired for that.
Oh man!
Oh no!
Getting him fired. But we broke next him. Level.
Yeah, that's not, I mean, no. That is too much.
I look back,
man,
with guilt, man, on some of the things. I remember teachers. I remember having a substitute teacher once. We just had a breakdown in tears in front of us. Having such a laugh with digging her out and doing naughty shit. And the moment she started crying, you could see everyone be like, oh no, you know, when you're looking at each other like it's gone too far, you know, what can you do after that? You can't apologize. She's crying, man. She's now never going to come back to the school. She was one and done, one day and out, man.
And we had that in Kidbrook school when I went there for a while. There was a teacher, we went out, she left and we went out to the hallway and she was standing outside the classroom crying.
It's a tough
job, man. You don't know what's going on at home with them either. You know what I mean? Like, it is weird teachers, though. I've had mate. Obviously, we all know someone who's teachers and that, and they're just like doing cocaine all night, and then fucking telling kids what to do, and then giving a kid a detention for forgetting a pen. Like the kid's got ADHD. Like fucking chill out, you cokehead. Like the hypocrisy, though, the amount of like times I was in trouble by these teachers, and like I was on report every day, all day. I had to go to the pavilion, like that was the naughty unit of Talis, not just for one lesson, for every single lesson, every single day. I was there for about 2 months. That was my score. It was a hut in a field. I was on my own.
It's like fucking, it's like in Shawshank when they have to go in the dark room on their own.
Yeah. I was in there with like kids who couldn't learn and stuff. And like, we were reading books like for 9-year-olds.
Oh, man.
But like these teachers, like, you know that they were just quite aggressively unbalanced. Like, they just used to snap and stuff. And I don't think, I don't know, I don't really respect them that much now. I was obviously going through difficulties at home. When you get a kid, you know, behaving like that, they should look into that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but they did actually. But it's like, again, we're looking at it probably romantically, thinking you want a teacher to nurture. Like, you know, it is also a really hard job. Yeah.
They're just doing it from 9 a.m. till 3.
It's not all going to be fucking
grand a year, probably. Back
what's
then?
The one with Michelle Pfeiffer when she with the Coolio
Dangerous
song?
Minds.
Dangerously
Minds.
Aged.
It's not all going to be that, you know. Minds. It is just ultimately they were humans, and I feel like, you know, I always look back with more guilt that we just did that to teachers rather than think they should have kept their head.
I have bumped into teachers as an adult that I was very naughty with, and they always have a laugh about stuff I did, though, a little bit. Like, she said, I found it so funny. Like, I was selling rosemary from my mum's garden as weed in school. like, to the older kids. Like, that was always way older than me, and, like, I was selling it in school.
Oh,
like, she thought that was hilarious. Like, I bumped into her in my 20s, and she was just laughing about it.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. Fuck.
All right, let's do a question.
All right.
Here we go. This is from V. Sean has been offered a lead in a musical. What musical is it? And what musical is he hoping it is and why? I suppose the first question there is, do you like musicals? Because obviously that's quite a black and white question. Most people either hate them or love them.
You're a bit of, like, you like music and dancing, though, don't you? You should do Strictly, man.
I'm thinking about it. I think it could be really good for me. I'll speak to my agent.
It could really work for you, man.
Do you like musicals?
Do I like musicals? I like Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
That's a fucking wicked film, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wizard of Oz and Grease are the only two musicals that I could watch. Oh,
La La Land is one of my favourite films.
I really liked La La Land. Some people weren't into it. I thought it was a really good film. I liked how...
Fucking loved it.
I like that sort of modern take on a musical where it's sort of...
Yeah.
Two people that a musical shouldn't be about, almost. Like, you know what I mean? That's what I liked about it. I think of like...
Yeah. Who was it? No, Meryl Streep.
What?
La La Land. It was Ryan Gosling and... what's her
Emma
name?
Stone.
Emma Stone.
He's a good actor, man.
Glenn Close. Yes, I know, Glenn Close getting it on with Ryan Gosling.
Oh, yeah, Glenn Close was in that Bunny Boiler film, wasn't she? That was fucking Fatal wicked
attraction.
Film.
So I attractive was like, in that film.
I actually, do you know what? I would have loved to have been Willy Wonka, which just so happens to be topical.
I could see you as
I'd
Willy Wonka.
I'd love to have been Wonka.
But do you have you seen? Because I haven't seen the new film. I love the original film.
Yes.
I hated the Johnny Depp remake.
Yeah, I've never watched it because I just couldn't.
This one obviously is a prequel, but the trailer has made me go, it's not going to be very good. And
I mean, they can't compare to Gene Wilder.
That's what I mean.
He was
Gene Wilder
fucking
did it
force
so
of
well.
Nature. That guy.
Yeah.
It's perfect, wasn't it?
He was incredible. That guy.
He just
he's
had
like
that
unbalanced, wasn't he? Any minute he's going to get sectioned.
Yeah.
He was just so good.
Like Stir Crazy to this day is one of my favourite ever films.
Him and
like
Pryor,
man. Him and Pryor, just like that. Just that little double act they have.
I need to see that. I just never saw that.
Funny.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the prison one, isn't it?
Yeah.
That was a real prison they were in, wasn't
it? I'm going to watch that tonight.
Do it.
That's what I'm going to do.
Like, it's just brilliant.
What a good idea. Christmas. Stir Crazy.
Have you watched any Christmas films yet? We watched a really shit, like, sort of low budget film about Santa Claus and some talking dogs yesterday. And
on Pornhub.
It was crap, but it was Christmas. It was, again, like, we sort of mentioned this before we started recording. Like, I love Christmas so much. I will watch any shit if it's got Christmas in it. Like, I just enjoy
what's
anything.
This thing
Christmas
about,
Chronicles isn't bad as a kid's film. It's not
what's
bad.
Christmas Chronicles.
What's.
It's on Netflix. I just started it the other day with Ren. We've not finished it. It's not bad. It's like a Channel 5-y kind of vibe.
That's what this one we watched was. It was proper Channel 5.
So explain Christmas to me then.
Well, Santa Claus goes round and St. Nicholas. It was a real man, wasn't he?
What do you mean, explain but, why
but
it's
you're,
good?
Like, you say you're like, I love Christmas, I'll watch anything that's to do with Christmas. What's that about? I can't understand
I think it's because I didn't really have a Christmassy childhood. Like, my parents didn't really give a shit. Like, there was no real... Yes. Yeah, we put a tree up and you got presents, but it wasn't a big deal. Yeah, Christmas dinner wasn't a big deal. It's just we had a Christmas dinner, but it wasn't like... I don't know, and like, it wasn't a big time of year when there was loads of shit
going on.
It's
a lovely, wholesome family time.
That's what I think
as
an adult.
The stresses are parked. It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Magical.
I feel like I'm making up for lost time.
Is it tied into with the kids, Carl?
No, because I've been like that for about... I'd say it's been like probably for over a decade, 15 years. Like, just once I got into proper adulthood, I just really got into it. And I think it was because I never really got into it. Same as my birthdays. I always hated my birthdays.
Shit,
until
you
the
just
last
reminded me
years.
It's my brother's birthday. Fuck. Sorry. Just got to text my brother because I will shit.
Do it.
But I have to do it, otherwise.
Hang on. If you've only just remembered that now, that means you haven't got them a present.
No, we get presents. We just combine it with Christmas Day, to be honest. Okay, we both do that. So okay. This is all good. Yeah. Oh,
but,
shit.
Yeah, it's... But yeah, I just love it. I really like the time of year. Although that's what I was going to say. When we were chatting before hitting record, is being in Australia, it's a very different atmosphere. It doesn't feel Christmassy, even though everyone's
because it's sunny is the main reason.
That's all
I
it
guess.
Is. It turns out I don't really love Christmas. I love it getting dark at 3:30 p.m. and being having Christmas lights in
it's
their windows.
Cozy,
and getting
isn't it? Like...
every day. That's what I actually like.
Do you think you liked that before you had Twyla? Like just the holiday and drinking, like the rules are you can drink as much as you want and party and all that stuff. Is that what you like?
I think I've always then I've never been too bound by rules on that sort of stuff.
Oh yeah, I forgot you're an alcoholic. Oh, I forgot you've got a massive problem.
I've always been a bit, you know, just nice and free with my boundaries.
Hedonistic.
So I've not, and obviously being a comedian, like, you know, our lifestyles, like, it's not like we've got a 9-to-5 and suddenly we've got 2 weeks off at Christmas to get shit-faced. Like, I don't equate it with getting pissed or any of that stuff. It's more just I just like the time of year. I like giving people presents. I like
I love going
Christmas shopping and wrapping it up and all this
That's crazy to me. That's really crazy.
Oh, I love it.
I'm making a present today that I've got to go and print off.
Right.
And frame.
Print off.
And I'm just like, what? Oh God, this is how do people enjoy this? I'd rather no one got me anything.
I hope they like Amazon vouchers. what are you printing off?
It's a bit in, to be honest, but the comedy. In fact, I'll read it to you.
Oh, is it a poem? Okay,
this is
cringe.
For my comedy agency, this is a gift for everyone. And normally everyone just buys booze.
Yeah.
thought of this idea, and instead of buying booze, I thought this would be a nice thing and they could put this up on the wall forever. And this is
scanning their bin.
This is things not to say.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I'll run them all by you. And some of them might be a bit in, some of them might even be a bit too off the Kirby, which is my particular agency. But we'll start off with, did you enjoy it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Good shout.
Okay. After a gig, yeah. So the one of the worst things you can say is, did you enjoy it?
How do you feel that went?
Yeah. Just absolutely killer. It will look full.
Oh, right. That's a bad one.
Camera tricks.
Yeah.
No one reads reviews.
Oh, yeah.
It's so stupid. Such a stupid.
Even though, why did they scrape around with their PR trying to get reviewers in?
Then why am I paying thousands of pounds?
Paid 10 grand to get PR on getting reviewers in. And when it's a bad review, no, that doesn't matter. Yeah, it's not even on our radar. Why have you got a budget allocated to getting them in then? Why can't I buy it? I just remortgage my house to get them in.
You might not get this. Just checking in on this one. Does that mean anything to you?
Yeah.
What are they reminding you?
You've ignored.
Just a gentle nudge.
That's the one where you've been sent an offer for a gig that you definitely don't want to do, but you haven't had the guts to reply and say, I don't want to do it.
Just a gentle reminder. You forgot to reply to me.
Any thoughts?
Thoughts on...
Three question marks.
Thoughts on Sheffield tomorrow.
Fuck, man.
Right, that's the end of this week's public episode. We hope you enjoyed it. What happens now, Julian?
They can, if they want to hear the rest of the episode, they can go over to patreon.com/wearetvi.
There you go. Once you've signed up there, you can hear the rest of the episode. You can hear all the old Patreon episodes, exclusives, whatever.
It's 45p a week.
Is it? Mm. That's cool. Mm. I didn't know that.
Easy life.
There we go. It's even cheaper than I thought. So do that. But if not, don't worry. You can listen to next week's public episode when it's released. Thanks.
Thank you.
Ron, it gives the diet of AIDS in an alleyway.